Good morning, everyone. You know better. Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Perfect. So for those who did not see me yesterday, my name is Donovan Brown. I'm a senior DevOps program manager at Microsoft. I'm a little hyped up right now because this is hands down the riskiest demo I've ever done. So last year I came here and I did the riskiest demo to date at that point. So New Zealand is where I bring out the craziest demo I can possibly do and try to just take it on tour after this, right? So you guys are literally the first people to see what I'm trying to do. I have a Mac, I have a Linux machine, and I have a PC on stage with me. Because if you saw me at the Ignite keynote, I kept saying over and over again, any language, any platform. I said it over and over and over again. And people just don't believe me. So I was like, that's it. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to bring three freaking PCs with me, a Mac and a Linux machine, and I'm going to do whatever language you tell me to do, and I'm going to deploy it to whatever platform you tell me to do it on, and I'm even going to choose the machine that you tell me to. So what I'm going to do is, this is me. You can watch a dozen videos and hear me talk about this, so I'm not going to talk about myself. But what I want you to do is introduce you to this little guy. So the marketing team at Microsoft created this little guy for me, and what he's going to do is allow you to vote for the demo that I'm going to do later. Right, so you're going to be able to choose from if I use the Mac, if I use the Linux machine, or if I use the Windows machine. You're going to be able to pick if I'm going to use Java, Node.js, or ASP.NET Core, and you're going to get to choose if I'm going to deploy it to app services or to Docker. Right? Now, don't think that these are the only languages we can do. These are the only languages I could learn in time. Okay? So the way that I'm going to do this is I'm actually going to open source all the code that I did to generate this thing, and I'm going to talk to you about exactly how I did that. And at that point, we can add PHP, we can add Python, we can add Ruby, we can add whatever you guys want to add to this tool, because I'm using a little trick to make this stuff all possible. So what I'm actually going to be doing today is automating your automation, right? Some weird, like, matrixy kind stuff, right? Because we all know that automation is key when it comes to doing DevOps. It's a key principle to make sure you remove the people and automate as much as you possibly can. But how many of us have struggled building the automation? Everyone raise your hands. Right? So I don't care what tool chain you're doing, it's always difficult to figure out, how do I set up my CI build? How do I set up my continuous deployment? How do I wire those two together? How do I make sure that every time I check in code that it actually triggers all this cool stuff for me? It's very complicated. It's very difficult. Once you have the automation in place, it's awesome. You check in code, stuff just goes rushing into production or into whatever environment you want it to go rushing into. So what I taught is that that's just hard. I can't tell you how many times I've sat with people who need to do this demo or a demo similar, teaching them how to do this. And I think to myself, man, if you can't figure this out, then our customers have no chance. If you're the expert going to demo it and you need my help, how can I lower the barrier of entry? How can I make this so easy that anyone can do it? And that's what I hope to demo for you today. Is that something that has made the ability for us to deploy any language targeting any platform as easy as I possibly can. I was doing an interview today, and they said, Donovan, where do you hope DevOps is in 5 years? And I flat out said, I hope DevOps is something we used to talk about. I hope DevOps is an afterthought. I hope 10 years from now, 5 years from now, that DevOps is not the topic that it is today. It should become so easy and so just flat out simple that we don't talk about it anymore. And I'm hoping that what I'm going to show you today is a step in that direction, a step towards, wow, this guy has made DevOps so easy that we got to go worry about something else now, okay? And he's going to help us do that. You see this little URL? Where is it? Bit.ly /mynzdemo. Everyone go there. If you're watching the live stream, if you're in the audience, please, everyone go there. And then pick your favorite OS, pick your favorite language, and pick your favorite platform. I'm going to go ahead and do a couple slides for you, right? I got to go ahead and do the rah-rah stuff. And then eventually I'm going to get to a slide that says demo, and at that point I'm going to go and see what you guys have voted for, and whatever it is that you vote for, I'm going to go do live on stage. Deal? All right, everyone get your phones out. Everyone please go and vote so we can start having some fun here. All right, so what is this session going to do? We're going to define DevOps, and we're basically going to show you exactly what our DevOps offering are capable of. And DevOps is more than just the automation that I'm going to be focusing on today. It's about taking an idea and turning it into a working piece of software and monitoring it as it's running in production. That, to me, is the whole life cycle. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And Team Services offers you everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software for any language targeting any platform. No longer are we just Microsoft on Windows, the .NET company. No longer. right? And even if we were just the .NET company, we're now on your Linux machines, we're now on your Macs, right? Oh, you just do PowerShell. Yep, we do it on your Linux machines, and we now do it on your Macs, right? We open sourced all of that stuff. So wherever you are, we're coming there. And we're going to make sure that we can add value to what you're doing. But we also work, if you're using Java, or Node.js, Python, Ruby, if you're already invested in Jenkins, you can stay there. You don't have to throw away all the investments you've made in the tools you know and love today to start using some of the value we have here in Team Services. You can just augment that. Every one of us who has built a DevOps pipeline has some portion of it we wish was better than it is right now. And all I'm asking you to do is look at Microsoft when you want to fix that particular problem. If you're doing Greenfield, starting from scratch, trust me, just use it all, right? Because it's going to be the easiest way, and I'm going to show you today just how quickly you can use it all, okay? So what is DevOps? When I joined Microsoft, that was the first thing that they asked me to do was to define DevOps for Microsoft. Took this extremely seriously. It's in my title, and I didn't want to just go and search for someone else's definition and say, oh, this is what everyone else is saying DevOps is. I really wanted to internalize for me, what does DevOps truly mean? Before I defined it, I asked, why is it so hot right now? Why are we talking about it? Why are you all sitting here because DevOps was in the title of my abstract? A decade ago, if I would have put DevOps in my title of my abstract, no one would be here because we didn't even know what it was a decade ago. So why now? So when I answered why now, which has to do with all of our history of writing software, I always ask the audience, how many of you are developers? So I can see some idea of how many of you are developers. Great, almost the majority of you. How many of you have been on a project that was late? Everyone, raise your hands. Right? So if that project was late, it was also over budget. Everyone, raise your hands. Wait, we've been on a late project. We've been on a project that was over budget. And let's see. You were probably doing Waterfall a decade ago. So chances are what you had set out to create and what you actually delivered looked nothing like each other, right? So we delivered code that was late, code that was over budget, and code that only did half of what we promised it was going to do. And if you were a programmer like I was a decade ago, it was buggy as hell, right? So it was just a train wreck of development. So 10 years ago, what hurt the most wasn't the deployment of our software. It was the development of our software. We had to fix that first. Because if we're producing crap and you automate the deployment into production, you're just automating the movement of crap into production. That helps no one, right? So we had to fix that first, and we did. We came up with Agile. We came up with Scrum, XP, Kanban, all these methodologies that allowed us to produce value very, very quickly. Producing value and delivering value are not the same thing. Just because your team is running in 2 or 3 week sprints, producing increments of shippable code, but you're not shipping it, you're not actually really doing DevOps. You're not really getting that value to your end users. There's a gap there. There's a disconnect built over decades of distrust between operations and developers. I remember the days when, as I was finished with my application, I would literally go to the physical server, the production server, type in my credentials and actually log into that machine and then copy my files all over the place. Everyone remember those days? Yeah, those days are gone, right? You're not allowed to touch the production server anymore. You're not even allowed to know the passwords for the production server anymore. Why? Because when I got on that server and I started copying files all over the place, all the lights would go out, right? And then all of a sudden, not only my app stopped working, but every other app on that server stopped working. And now the poor ops guy is getting emails from everyone. What in the hell is going on? Why are our customers mad at us? Well, the server's having problems. Why is it, well, Donovan deployed a new version of software, right? Okay, then stop him from doing that. So what do we have to do? We all say, okay, Donovan, you can't touch the server anymore. What you have to do now is package up all of your binaries and write a document for me to follow for you. Now, we all know that document is horrible because, well, I hate writing documentation. If you are a true developer, you hate writing documentation too, right? If you want to know how it works, read the code. That's how it works. Why do I have to document what the code says, right? So I was horrible at writing documentation, not to mention the fact that even if I tried to do a good job, what you do in the heat of the battle, what I mean by that is you go, you copy your files, you fire it up, something doesn't work, you immediately go and you solve that problem, you fire it up again. That step is missing from that document. Because when I wrote it, I thought of the happy path if everything goes well. I didn't think about what if something bad happens, then what should that person do who's trying to deploy my software? And that poor guy is now stuck. He's pointing fingers at me, I'm pointing fingers at him, and this distrust begins to build between dev and ops. So I always joke, I'm just going to rub a little DevOps on this problem, and we're going to make it better for everyone. And that's what DevOps is here to do, to close that chasm, to close that gap between Dev and Ops so that we can all coexist and continuously deliver value to our end users. So once I understood why DevOps was hot, I was finally able to define it. This is my proudest sentence I've ever written. It took me 30 days to do it. I can literally defend every single word. I can defend on why I chose the word products over tools. I can defend on why I said the word people versus culture. I can defend every single word of it because I internalized it. I said, if I'm going to go to work every day and enable DevOps for all of our customers, I need to understand that this is true for all of us. It is the people, the process, and the products that come together that actually enable this continuous delivery of value. People are like, how often should we deliver it? Continuously. As quickly as you possibly can. Because if you don't, your competition will. It only takes one crash on that app on your phone for you to go find another vendor, right? How many versions of Solitaire are there out there? Hundreds of them. So if your Solitaire doesn't work, I'm gonna go load the next one. And do you think I'm just gonna come back and use yours next week? No. Every other person has to fail before I get back around to you again. The competition is so fierce out there that you have to be the one delivering high quality code all the time. This is true if it's mobile, this is true if it's backend, this is true if it's Docker containers or otherwise. Now, what I wish is that this was flashing and beeping and bold, and that's the hardest one, guys. The people in your organization are the reason that a lot of us are having trouble adopting DevOps. I'm gonna paraphrase Jeffrey Snover. He's the inventor of PowerShell, by the way. Fantastic guy. And what he said was, and I'm paraphrasing, the biggest detractor of adopting DevOps is success. Companies who have been successful without it, who have become the largest in their industry, who are the incumbents, are very hesitant to change. Why should we change? We're number one. We're clearly doing this right. So their mindset is, just keep doing what has made us number one. And that's a natural instinct. But number two and number three that are fastly approaching you, they're not doing it the way that you did it. And they've gotten to be number two and number three in a record time compared to how long it took you to become number one. And if you slip up, they'll be number one and you'll never catch them again. It's the people who have to understand that we have to change the way that we develop software. And what I do as a product manager at Microsoft is I try to make the coolest products that I can that are so obviously going to make your life easier that you'd be an idiot not to use them. And then I hope that I can use these tools and these products to help shape their perception, making it easier to convince the people to do the right thing. The process, guys, that's the easy part. We know how to do this. We just got to convince your people that it's the right thing to do. Because I can sell you all the products in the world, but if your people don't believe, you're still going to fail, right? This is what we're trying to do every single day at Microsoft, is enable this for all of our customers. And what I'm going to try to do today is reduce as much of that friction as I can for you, okay? So why should you do this? Because your competition already is. And that's as simple as I can make it. I was at a big company a couple weeks ago, and they brought me in. I spent all day with them. And I did a talk on how we do DevOps in Microsoft. And this question came up. Well, why should we care? We're number one. I was like, well, because your competition cares. And oh, and by the way, I work for Microsoft. Your competition, they're all my customers too. And I've already had this conversation with them. Right? So if you're the last person I'm telling this to, if you're the last person deciding to do this, trust me, guys, DevOps is not something to be debated. It is something to be implemented. Because if you don't, you're simply going to lose. Me trying to convince you that DevOps is important is me trying to convince you that oxygen is important. Are we really going to have this debate, or are you going to start breathing? It's that simple. Right? DevOps is here. It is the way that you succeed. It is the way that you beat the competition. And as you saw from the first slide, I am fiercely competitive. So we do these things, we internalize them at Microsoft, and we use our own tools to do this. It's almost like Inception or Matrix-y kind of stuff. Visual Studio Team Services is actually tracked, built, versioned, and deployed using Visual Studio Team Services. How freaky is that? Right? Every 3 weeks, it updates itself automatically, having built itself automatically. Right? It's an amazing time for us to live into, but you have to do that because it increases our velocity. We have fierce competitors out there. We fight against them at every sales organization that we go to. And we have to be faster, we have to reduce our downtime, and we have to make sure that we don't have human error that makes you choose our competitors over us. And this is true for everyone. no matter what organization you're in. You might be a monopoly today, but you won't be tomorrow if you don't start paying attention to the stuff that I'm talking about, right? This stuff is here. Don't be the last one to get on board. This is what I'm going to try to prove today. Any language, any platform. Please do not think that what I'm going to show you only works for the three languages that I showed you. I get challenged all the time. I'm at Donovan Brown on Twitter. It is the number one way to get a hold of me. Guy said, Donovan, I just saw your presentation on DevOps. It was freaking awesome, but we have legacy VB6, right? Don't giggle. You all have VB6 in your organizations. We all do, right? It's that redheaded stepchild we wish we could get rid of, but the back office is using it, and they keep having feature requests for it, and they won't pay for us to rewrite it in .NET. So here we are maintaining Visual Basic. So I said, okay, let me figure this out for you. So I went and I wrote a blog post at donovanbrown.com, how to do DevOps with Visual Basic, VB6. All I had to do was get the compiler on a machine. That is the hardest part, by the way, right? Getting VB to install on Server 2012 is heroic, right? The majority of the blog post is how to install VB6 on a modern OS. Once that was done, it was a piece of cake. All the principles are the same. Every time you make a change, download it, build it, test it. As soon as you can, push it in an environment, test it again. And that's exactly what we're able to do for any language targeting any platform. You want to build on Linux? Fine. I have a Linux machine up here. I can install our agent on it. It will happily run there. You want to do iOS on a Mac? Fine. I have a Mac up here. I can build anything I want on that Mac as well. And if you're Windows, I love you to death. And we're going to do .NET and all that cool Windows stuff for you perfectly every single time. You want to deploy to Azure? Great. Because all roads should lead to Azure as far as I'm concerned. Right? It's an amazing, amazing tool. Quick tidbit. If you have an MSDN and you're not using Azure, you're giving us our money back every single month. We give you between $50 and $150 of free Azure every single month. Go play with it. I wanted to go play with Visual Studio 15 Preview 5. Didn't want to install it on my machine because I'm preparing for demos at Ignite. I can't risk these machines right now. But I was dying to go play with the new features. What did I do? I went into Azure. There was an image that says, hey, I'm Visual Studio 15 with Preview 5. Would you like to play with me? Fired it up. 10 minutes later, I'm playing with Visual Studio. If I liked it, I could have installed it. If not, I just delete the machine and I go back about my work. We're giving it to you. Please go play with it. It's an amazing, amazing tool set. Another quick story about how awesome Azure is. Anyone remember Jet.com? Might not, because they only existed for 12 months before they were acquired by Walmart for a staggering amount of money. What kind of return on your investment is that? We go from nothing to 12 months of existence to being acquired by the largest freaking retail company in the world. Why? Because they used Azure. And I'm not joking. That's not just a sales pitch. They were using technology that we've already written for you. They were just simply putting the pieces together. They did it in 12 months, and in record time, were purchased by the largest retail company in the world. Azure is real. Azure is powerful. The bot stuff that you're seeing, guys, go play with it. It's literally just sitting there for you. And we can deploy all of these languages there, too. So if you want to go to AWS, fine. I don't mind. I got to admit, it's really convenient being able to buy my underwear and my cloud from the same place. I got to admit, okay? But sometimes I want to make sure I trust the people who are doing my cloud, understand software, understand servers, and our data centers are amazing. All right. So, what are you trying to do when we're trying to manage a DevOps pipeline? Guys, we're literally trying to manage all of this. And this is an enormous amount of information that you need to manage when you're trying to build a DevOps pipeline. And I can say with 100% confidence, if you are not building your DevOps pipeline with Microsoft, you are using more than one vendor. I can say that 100%. Because no one else has the cloud and the IDE and the languages and the build and the source control and the work item tracking and the bug tracking and the continuous deployment that Microsoft has. No one has all of it. If you tried to build that today or yesterday, you had to use more than one vendor. But Microsoft's here to say you don't have to do that anymore. We finally have every piece you need for all versions of DevOps, all from one vendor. You got to plan it, right? This is the idea that you want to turn into a working piece of software. You can use TFS, which stands for Team Foundation Server, which is a tool that you can install yourself on-prem. It's great for government indices, governments who don't want to go to the cloud yet, or people who just don't trust the cloud and think it's a fad. You can install it yourself and maintain it yourself. If you trust the cloud like I do, you can use VSTS, which is basically its twin brother hosted for you in the cloud by us and updated every 3 weeks. The one on-prem is updated every 3 months. So every 3 months, we package up all the last updates. We push them down to you so you're constantly fresh and constantly getting new features. Now it's time for us to go and do our infrastructure This is for all the people who are ragging on me at Ignite North America for saying it infrastructure, which I think is sounds the same to me, but everyone's giving me a hard time for the way I say it. But now we have this thing called infrastructure as code, which is where you actually take the definition of the environment upon which you want to run your application and you codify it. You turn it into ARM templates, or you turn it into other types of code, PowerShell potentially, and they define the environment upon which I want to run my app. I can version this now. So it's no longer the one guy here in your organization who holds the mighty thumb drive with all of the scripts on it. You know that guy who walks around like he can't be fired because he literally is the only guy who can configure your servers for you? Yeah, we got to get rid of that guy. He holds our entire future in our hands. He goes on vacation. I can't scale out my infrastructure because the guy who knows how to click all the buttons isn't there. I'm sorry if you're that guy. But what we need to do is teach you some new skills, allow you to take that information and codify it so that it can be shared and it can be vetted and it can be automatically deployed even if you're on vacation, allowing us to continuously deliver value. Now, once your resources, I'll start saying resources instead, are actually provisioned, it's time for them to be configured. Just because I spun up a Windows machine doesn't mean that Windows machine is ready to run a web app. It might not have IIS on it. It might not have the .NET framework on it. It might not have the right ports on the firewall open. So it's a Windows server, just like I told it to spin up, but it's not configured correctly. That's where desired state configuration comes in. It's an extension on top of PowerShell. Many people don't know this. That has worked on Linux for quite some time. So I can spin up a Linux machine and configure it with DSC just as easy as I can spin up a Windows machine and configure it as well. So now I have the machine. I have the infrastructure configured the way I want it to. Time for me to deploy my app. Here, it's BYOB, right? What I mean by that is bring your own binary. We don't care what the binary is. If it's a WAR file, a NuGet package, an MSI, a DLL, an EXE, we don't care. You don't have to package it a certain way. You don't have to rub it on the side. All you have to do is just give it to us. And we're going to say, great, now that I have this binary, I'm going to deploy it anywhere you want us to deploy it. And I think that's a really powerful statement in our deployment software, is that you don't have to learn a new technology. You don't have to package it a certain way. Just give us what you've been producing for decades, and we're going to show you how we can actually deploy it. Apps are very similar to resources. Just because the app has been copied to the right location doesn't mean it's ready to be run. ASP.NET developers love ASP.NET. How many of you guys have ever been burned by a web.config? Everyone, raise your hands again. Right? Because you've all been on the server when you realize, oh my God, that's the wrong connection string. Because we're pointing at production data in dev. Let me run in there real quick and change their connection string. And then you leave off an angle bracket, and then you get the yellow screen of death, and then everyone's panicking because a human being was sent to do a machine's job. So what we do there is we configure it with a technique called tokenization. Give us a template of the file that you want to be deployed, and then tell our release system at each stage of our deployment what you want the values to be, and we'll put them in there for you perfectly every single time. Stop letting humans touch your deployments. Right? It's a bad thing. Now, there are times humans need to at least go give their approval. We'll handle that for you, but we keep their hands off of the machines for you as well. Testing. I said this in the keynote. Shame on you if you're not testing. Testing is crucially, crucially important, especially if you want to deliver value. You are literally one crash away from me giving you a one-star rating in the App Store. One crash. And your reputation is now tarnished forever. Right? And people aren't going to come back to you because you crashed an app. So testing can prevent that for you. And we allow you to do this for mobile. We allow you to do this for web, whatever you guys want. And what we have here is this cool technology called backpacks. If you are using SQL Server and you don't know what SSDT stands for, go search it immediately after this session. SQL Server data tools are amazing. They are our best kept secret. Right? So don't tell anyone else about it, because we haven't told anyone how cool this stuff is. It can literally version your entire schema of your database, produce an output for you that you can then give to our tool set, and we will deploy your schema changes for you without dropping a single line of data. I know a lot of you guys are out there right now write your SQL alter scripts that you then concatenate with your buddy's SQL alter scripts that you then hand off to your DBA to bless, who will then go run it a week from now. Right? You're all laughing because it's true, and you've all lived in that world. SSDT to the rescue. If you're not doing SQL Server, we have great partners. For example, Redgate is a great partner of ours who will help you with other databases like Oracle and stuff like that. Right? So make sure you get your database in version control. Run all the automated tests you can. Xamarin Test Cloud, great way to do mobile. We also have partners there like Perfecto Mobile. I'm a big fan of Perfecto Mobile. They allow you to do testing on mobile devices there as well. You want to do Selenium, you want to do coded UI, you want to do load, performance, pen testing. We couldn't care less what you want to do. Just make sure you test it, and we'll run all the automation for you. We are decades away. I don't think I will ever be in a lifetime where we don't need manual testing. Manual testing is an extremely powerful technique, but what we want to do is minimize that as much as we can. So we want to automate everything that we possibly can, manually test where you have to. Our tool set will stop, pause, let you do your manual testing, and then when it's done, it'll pick right back up with the rest of your automation. Okay, now it's time for us to get approvers through there. It's obviously important. The definition of DevOps had the word value in it. I did not say copy software. I said deliver value continuously. How do I know if I delivered value? I have to monitor the application as it's being used by my users. Otherwise, I just randomly copied files to a server. If I don't know that they found that new feature, I don't know that I delivered value. What I have to do is say, hey, we put out this new feature. We have telemetry in there. It'll tell me that 75% of the people who visited our site after we deployed it found that feature and used it. That's value. If 0% of the people find that feature, there's a couple things that could be wrong. Might not that you didn't deliver value. Well, you didn't that sprint. But maybe you need more marketing. Maybe it's not intuitive. Maybe it wasn't a bad idea. It was just a bad implementation. But if I don't monitor the application, I'll have no idea if that's the case or not. And we allow you to do that with Application Insights and with Xamarin Insights that is now built inside of Haki App. So it doesn't matter if you wanted to do back office software, frameworks, databases, or mobile applications. We are the only vendor on the planet that has all of this stuff. Right? Now, you do not have to use all of it. That's one thing. People get hung up on the fact that I say it's everything that you need, and now they think we're talking about vendor lock-in. I am not trying to lock you into Microsoft. Well, I can't lie to you. Of course I want you to be using Microsoft, but I don't want to lock you into Microsoft. I want you using our tool set because you think it's the best tool set in the world. And if you don't, that's my fault. And I need to go do a better job. But of course I want you using 100% Microsoft because it is 100% the best solution for you. But if you find any part of this fails to meet your expectations, and I know we got a lot of Octopus Deploy fans in here. Guys, if you want to use Octopus Deploy right there, we are perfectly okay with that. Right? We're big fans of Octopus Deploy. You can use everything else in this stack and put Octopus Deploy in there for your deployment. We're completely okay with that. Okay? You don't have to use it all, but we like that you do. This slide is boring. It's all Microsoft. Right? Of course, this is what you'd expect. I like this slide. These are names of vendors that you would not notoriously like expect to be with Microsoft. We integrate with all of this. So if you already are using some of these tools, you don't even have to stop using them. Right? You can continue to use them and integrate them with what we do here at Microsoft. You're already using GitHub? Knock yourself out. Bitbucket? Go for it. If you like paying for private repos, I can't stop you, but we give you unlimited private repos for free. Right? So if you want to move your Git repos to us, you don't have to pay for them anymore. Right? But if you want to stay where you are, we'll build directly from them as well. So I just want to make sure you know any language, any platform. Oh, the moment of truth. So now what I have to do is go figure out what you guys voted for. And then I got to get on the right machine here. So let's go see. I thought what I would do is make my life a lot easier, put all this stuff up here, and then write the code to always pick Windows and .NET and, and Azure. But I thought that would take a lot of the fun out of it. So let me get to a web browser here and see if I can see what you guys voted for. I actually don't care. That's good. So the question was, what am I hoping for? I'm actually hoping for the one that will prove the most people like open their eyes. So I hope it's not Windows, actually. Right? I hope it's not a Windows machine. And I actually hope it, what would I vote for? So maybe I'll vote myself. So let me come over here. Let's go to the app here. So for those who last minute want to vote, it's bit.ly, and then it's my NZ demo. This is my first foray into Angular 2. I was going to add Angular 2 to the project as well, but I didn't have time to learn Jasmine very well, because that's the preferred way of testing your Angular, and I wasn't going to put anything in there that I didn't have unit tests for, so maybe next year, unless I think of something crazier to do next year. I'll just go right to the results here. Wow! Man, we had a lot of people voting. So it looks like the Linux machine won. Awesome. Glad I bought my Ubuntu machine. And we're going to be doing ASP.NET Core, and we're going to be going to Docker. Awesome, awesome. Good job, guys. So let me see which one of these is my Ubuntu machine. Nope. Wrong machine. Number 7. Thank you so much for not letting me use the Mac. I don't like that machine. All right, let me see here. This is going to be a little tough because I think everything's behind me. All right. See if I can figure out how to get my presentation to work. We'll use scrunched, but that way at least I can see everything. I'm looking at the same thing you're looking at. Okay, so we chose Linux machine, so I'm now on a Linux machine. Now what I want to do now is teach you that there is like nothing. This is called zero to DevOps. And I've done this a couple of ways. The first time I did it, I actually coded everything right in front of you, right? But this way, I'm going to do some cool tricks that you guys are all going to be able to use yourself as well. But the whole point is that I'm starting from absolutely nothing. So this is Team Services. Everyone who's listening to my voice can go to visualstudio.com right now and start this for free. It costs you absolutely $0.00 to start playing with this stuff, okay? And as you can see over here, it says recent projects and teams. And what I want to show you is that I don't have any of them that I'm actually, the ones that I'm going to generate don't exist already. So I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to take you back to, we can see all of the projects that I have. So I do have some projects, right? These already exist, but the one I'm going to create is, because I'm doing, what language am I doing? I'm doing ASP.NET. So it's going to be called ASP.NET Demo. As you can see, ASP.NET Demo is not there. And we're going to Docker. Okay. So what I'm going to do now is I'm simply going to start a terminal. And I am a big fan of PowerShell, which is now available on Mac and on Linux. I cannot tell you how happy I was when I was able to, I think it's lowercase PowerShell. I can't tell you how happy I was when I could type DIR on a Mac. I almost like, you know that one manly tear you give? I cried and I wiped it away and said, thank you, Jeffrey. It was so freaking awesome. All right, so what we're going to do now is I'm going to go into like a temp folder. I think I have a temp folder here, so let me see. So I know ls, though. I know it's supposed to be there. Cd, temp. Now, the magic that I'm going to do here, perfect, is I'm going to use a tool called Yeoman. Okay, if you're not familiar with Yeoman, it's basically an open source project that allows you to scaffold out all different types of projects. You can type yo ASP.NET, yo Java, yo other kind of stuff, and it will like basically give you a project. It's just the source files for it. And I thought, I bet you I can extend this to make it do more than just give me the files. I need it to give me the DevOps pipeline. I need it to give me a team project inside of Visual Studio. I need it to give everything for me, not just the files, because the files, that's the easy part. Everything can do file, new project, but what about the pipeline? So that's what I wanted to do. So I created one that I call Yo VSTS. It's not open source yet. It will be soon. Right, I was too busy working on it for me to put it inside of GitHub. And I didn't want to spoil the surprise because some people, you follow me on GitHub and you would have seen it too soon. So when I type YoVSTS, what it's going to do is it said, hey, there happens to be a generator out there that understands what VSTS is. And what we're going to be able to do as a community when I make this open source is increase the number of languages there. It won't just be ASP.NET, Node, and Java, which are the languages I know. It could be PHP, it could be Angular, it could be whatever we want it to be. And then I'll help you make sure that we can do this easily. So the next one was ASP.NET Core. So I simply come up here and say, that's what I want to do. I obviously want to call this ASP Demo. So this is going to be the name of the team project it's going to create and all the other assets around it. And now it's going to ask me for, okay, so where do you want to deploy this to? I understand Docker and I understand app services. We could add this to whatever platforms that we want here. But you guys chose Docker. So I'm going to say, I would like to go to Docker. And it's going to say, okay, great, Donovan. What is the Visual Studio Team Services account you would like me to create all this amazing stuff in for you? Mine happens to be called My Demos. So I'm going to go ahead and select that one because I've done this already. Now, it's asking me about agent pools. And I'll show you what agent pools are a little later. But agent pools are the machines that are going to go do all the heavy lifting for me. And you can have lots of them. I have one called Default. And that one has a lot of cool machines in it. So I'm going to use Default. Now it's saying, I need permission to do things on your behalf. I need what we call a personal access token. And there's a lot of blog posts that teach you how to create a personal access token or go harvest this from your team services account. And I'm just going to go ahead and cheat and type mine in like I did during the keynote. And now it's basically saying, perfect, Donovan. You have multiple subscriptions, Azure subscriptions. So now that I know how to connect to your VSTS, what Azure account do you want me to go use for your Docker, for your ASP.NET, or for whatever it is that you want to do? And if you want to use something else, we can all go in here and write something else, but mine is that one. And now it's saying, okay, Donovan, for me to go do Docker for you, I need to understand where your Docker host is, where you want me to go build and run this particular Docker image for you. Because what we're going to do is build an image, store that image in Docker Hub, and then go into our Docker container where we want to run this, pull that down, our Docker host, and then run that container for us automatically. And I already have this one configured that this is the host that I want you to use. And then finally it's saying, for me to communicate with your Docker host, I actually have to know where your certs are. Right? Where are the certs that actually authenticate me with this guy? And then I can go ahead and press enter here or type in another value. My Docker Hub, my account, so Docker Hub is a registry. And what you want to do is you want to build an image once. You want to store it locally in a registry, not locally, but you want to store it remotely, excuse me, in a registry, so that you can pull down the exact same image to all of your different hosts, your dev host, your QA host, and maybe your production host. And then you would just reconfigure that image as you're running it so that it points at different locations and things like that. But the same zeros and ones need to go from one host to the next. So what I'm doing here is saying, where is your Docker Hub account name? My username is Dark Warrior, so I'm going to go ahead and do Dark Warrior. And now I have to give it my password. And then finally it says, great, what's your email for your Docker Hub? I did that as well. And now what it's asking me is saying, are you planning to do development on this machine right now? If so, what I can have it do is just go and do all my dependencies. So this is my Bowers, my NPM installs, all that kind of stuff to get my application ready. I'm actually not going to run the app on my machine, so I'm simply going to say no. Now what it should be doing now is using the REST API that we expose from Team Services. Team Services, almost everything that you can do in Team Services has a REST API that will allow you to do it, including creating a team project. So it's going off to my VSTS account and saying, hey, I need you to create a team project for me called ASP.NET Demo so I can store all this cool stuff. Then it says, Donovan wants to use an agent pool called default. Do you have one? So and I do. Okay, let's wire that together for you. And now what I need you to do is go and build me the connection to my Docker. I need you to go and wire up a connection to his Azure account using his personal access token so that I can figure that stuff out for you. Create his CI build for him and create his release definition. Now what it's doing, because it actually used Git in the back end, it's asking me, would you like to clone that repo down onto my machine? And of course I do. So I'm going to go ahead and give it my login. And then I need to give it a password. And now what it's going to do is it's going to clone that repo, and now Yeoman is doing what Yeoman normally does, which is just generate files for me. But it generated those files for me inside of the Git repo that was provisioned for me and cloned automatically from VSTS, right? So all I have to do now is a Git push. And this code will literally end up in Azure. But I want you to prove to you that it's actually code that we're doing now and I haven't done any smoke and mirrors. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to CD into this guy. And then I'm going to do a code. How many of you guys are using Visual Studio Code? Freaking love it. It loads really, really fast. And now I'm comfortable on a Mac, a Linux, or a PC because it's the exact same tool everywhere that I go, right? So it's really nice if you're living in the world that I live in where you're constantly having to jump from machine to machine. So now what I'm going to do here is it's actually scaffolded an entire project for me. It has Bower for all of my front-end stuff. It has some templates here. So if you want to do infrastructure as code, these are ARM templates that would define the app service. So had you chosen app service versus Docker, I would be using these to go spin up those resources for me in Azure so that I could then deploy to them my application. But what we chose instead is Docker. So there's actually a Docker file in here somewhere. I think it's under source. That actually allows me to know exactly how I'm going to deploy this to a Docker container, right? So this is, later please. So this is the Docker that I'm going to use to actually run this. And what I want to do now is go into view, go into shared, go into layout. And let's change some stuff so that you know that I'm not pulling the wool over your eyes. So let's change this to the title here. So we're going to call this Azure New Zealand 2016 and the title. And I think it shows up one other place here. Where are you? Home index. There you are, I think. There you are. Let's change this too. Yep, there you are. All right, perfect. I don't know why my terminal keeps coming up, but nevertheless, that looks like I got my names in there right, so I'm going to go ahead and save this. And also, when it actually cloned my repo and generated all the files for me, it did an initial commit of the initial project, so I could always roll back to that commit if I wanted to. So what I've done now is I'm going to come over here, because it's already integrated, and say I changed the title. I'm going to go ahead and save this. And now what I'm going to do is commit this, and then publish this to Visual Studio Team Services. So now it's taking all of the files off of my machine and pushing them into the Git repo inside of Visual Studio Team Services. Now what I should be able to do is let's hop over to a browser here. If I refresh this, I now have a new team project that wasn't there before, which is the one that was generated for me by the tool that we just used. Now if I hop in here, I can jump over to the source code. All my source code is now here that shows exactly what it generated for me. And more importantly is the build. Because a lot of us got to the first part. We were able to go back in there and get our source code in there, but then we would start getting confused when it came time for us to generate our build. So this build definition was actually generated for us. You need to know nothing about how any of this stuff works. I've hidden all of the complication. This is where I was getting 90% of my emails. Donovan, what do I have to do? What tasks do I have to use? How do I extend this? How do I install X, Y, and Z? I'm like, let's just stop having people have to worry about that. Let's just build it for them. But this is your build definition now. You can come in here and change the parameters. You can add new steps if you want to. As you can see here, we're doing normal stuff. This is the most magical command task that we have. This task will run any command that you want on any platform that you want. It looks like the DOS command prompt, but don't be fooled. It's for Bash, it's for any platform you want to be on. So if there is a command line that exists today that you want to run on your Mac, your Linux, or your PC, we can run it for you instantly. Right? There's nothing for you to have to go do but tell it to go run it. So I'm just doing .NET from the command line. So this should be familiar for all .NET developers, right? You restore, you build, you run your test. I even calculate code coverage for you. I'm a big, big fan of code coverage. And then I go off and I publish my test results. I then generate a Docker image that I then push for you automatically to Docker Hub so that it's now there waiting for people to be able to use it. When this build is done, what ends up happening here, let's go back and look at our build. And let's look at our summary of this build. There's a lot of rich information here. So not only did it run my build for me, but it actually went off and it calculated some test results for me. It actually calculated code coverage for me as well. It kept track of all my commits. So this is the initial commit when I ran the tool the first time. And you can even see my title changes in there. I could associate bugs or work items to this particular check-in so that it understands that this is the bug Donovan was fixing when he changed these lines of code. QA could always go and find that bug and see every line of code I changed to fix that specific bug. It gives you unparalleled traceability. I get test results. I even get code coverage. I'm doing horribly bad with my code coverage, but over here my lines are pretty good, but I still got some branches I need to go back in and work on. Now, one other thing that I want to point out here is the fact that it actually understands that we have a deployment here. Now, a deployment is where it actually says, hey, I'm done with my build. I would like you to now release this out into an environment where people can actually start testing it. So now what I'm going to do is simply come down here to my deployments, and don't be alarmed by the partially succeeded. I'll explain exactly why that was the case. So what we're looking at here is our release definition. So let me go and edit this for you. So our release definition looks very similar, and we could have multiple of these, right? So I could have a dev and a QA and a staging and a production. For Docker, I just gave you the one, because configuring multiple Docker hosts is a little bit beyond a script type of thing. If you had chosen app service, and maybe if time permits, I'll do that one for you too, I would have been able to create dev, QA, and prod for you automatically. And we can go back later as a community and figure out ways to make this a little bit better. But what it's doing is it's saying, hey, I want you to remove any running containers that are going to conflict with the port that you want me to map for the new container. Because if something is already running on port 80, and I try to start another container on port 80, it'll fail. So all this guy is saying is, I'm going to go look and see if there's anyone running on port 80 and stop them. And in this demo, there wasn't anything at time zero, so that's why it partially succeeded. It says, hey, you wanted me to stop someone, but I couldn't stop anyone. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that's okay. And now what I'm going to do is go and try to start your guy for you. So if all this worked the way that it was supposed to, if I come over here and I type in this, I believe it is, what I should see here is an ASP.NET application that has the title in it for us. Ta-da! Time you can clap. I can do this just as quickly for any of the combinations that you gave. When I first dreamed up this, my fiance gave me the idea. I was like, man, I got to figure out a way to prove to them that I can do any language in any platform. And at first, I was thinking, man, having to get up there and type in front of them and all that kind of stuff is going to be mind-numbing. It's just going to be too intimidating. So what if I could automate the automation? Then I could do any combination they want. So it's kind of like, I don't care what you pick. I'm just going to write Yo VSTS and have it do all the magic for me, right? So it became really easy. And it was just a matter of how many languages can I learn in time to put into the tool to make this demo more impressive. But I hope that you see that you can go back right now and you can make this happen for you for any language. Targeting Docker, you can target ACS or any other combination you guys wanted to do. Actually, how am I doing on time? How much time do I have left? 14 minutes. What was number two? You wanted to see Mac, you wanted to see Node.js, you wanted to see PaaS. Let's see if I have time to do another one. All right, I think this is my Mac. So let's see if I can do this one again. So as before, big fan of PowerShell. So I'm gonna do PowerShell. Just because I can, I'm gonna type dir. So I already had an ASP.NET demo I didn't clean up, so we're gonna do, on my Mac, I'm supposed to do node. So I'm gonna type yo, VSTS. And it's gonna ask me the same questions. I wanna do node instead. So this is gonna be control node. Node demo. Oh, I forgot to start my auto typer here. We're gonna go to app services. And my demos, default is fine. And now I'm gonna have to go show you my secret weapon. I should have had this set up already, but I forgot because I was in a rush. So I'm gonna show you my secret weapon. My secret weapon is something called Keyboard Maestro. So all the people doing demos on Macs, you need to get this tool, because when you do, then you can do silly stuff like I do whenever I type on stage. So what I'm gonna do here is come over here and do Control Shift T, and there's my token. Subscription's fine, nope. And now it's gonna go off, it's gonna create a completely different team project for Node, and it's gonna allow me to build this anywhere I want. So while this is working, feel free to ask me all the questions that you want, but that's what I wanted to show you, the power of being able to automate the automation itself so that jump-starting your project. Just imagine what you can do in your first sprint now. The first sprint of any project is the scariest one, because being able to deliver value, to be able to show progress from zero is usually intimidating. Now, don't tell your boss you know how to do this. That first sprint is now the easiest sprint you could possibly do. I can show you a fully working application with a complete DevOps pipeline in 15 minutes. If you're running 3-week sprints, that's a vacation, right? You got 2 weeks to do whatever you want and plan what you're gonna be doing in the next sprint when you have to do real work, because I've made this basically a joke for you to be able to do, right? So what questions do you have while this is actually running in the background? Oh, it wants me to, oh, it's already well bad, well beyond. I won't go ahead and, CD into node here. I'm not gonna make any changes to this one. I'm just gonna go ahead and push it. And what this is gonna do now, if I come back over here, and let's go and find this guy, because I can go from, there's node, he's brand new. And what I did here is I created a build for you just like I did before, but this build obviously looks completely different, because this build is doing node. But it does all the stuff you'd expect from a node build. NPM installs, it runs tests. Even for Node.js, I figured out how to calculate code coverage for you, right? And report it in your actual status. And then we basically go off and we deploy this to an app service running inside of Azure. App service is an extremely powerful framework, but configuring it for anything other than .NET isn't trivial, right? Sometimes you need a web.config configured just right. Sometimes you need to make sure it's packaged as a web deploy. There's all kinds of little tricks you have to know. And by using tooling like this, we take all that complexity away from you and give you the power of running Java or running Node or Python or Perl, whatever you want inside of an app service just becomes a yo VSTS command, right? So let's see. We should be getting ready to go into our release. So let's go back here because this one doesn't take very long. And let's just now. And as I said before, here we go with our summary again. And this summary has code coverage results for freaking Node.js. I'm actually a big fan of Node.js. And this one right now is actually deploying. And this is the what I was talking about. If I were to take you and do actual app services, I'm actually able to build you a much more complicated scenario where you have both dev, QA, and production. And this is using infrastructure as code. This is where I take those ARM templates and I deploy them for you using the first command, and then I deploy safely into that environment for you using the second command. And I can rinse and repeat this over and over and over again. So please, please, please do your evals, guys. Like I said, I try to come to New Zealand every year with the biggest and craziest demo I can. Not sure how I'll top this next year. But if you do the evals and you want me back, I'll be more than happy to come back and spend time with you guys again. Thank you so much, guys.